Good morning, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Vietnam Innovators. I'm your host, Hal. Today we have Nicholas Wagner. He's the general manager of New World Hotel Saigon. New World is one of the oldest hotels in Vietnam, not just Saigon, but it's been recently renovated. A lot of new things happening, including some great restaurants and all that. Nicholas, we have on the show here today because New World Hotel, even though it's been one of the longest in business, they're up to a lot of new cool things about the hospitality industry, and we want to learn about that. Nicholas, too, I've actually heard of him before, not just first time meeting today, and that's what I want to talk a little bit about. Nicholas, we've been introduced through my co-founder. He knows a few of your friends from Korea, where you've come from before arriving in Vietnam. Why don't we just start with that? What led you to Asia? What led you to Korea? Why Vietnam now?
Good question. Well, Korea really was because of Hyatt. Mm. So I worked with Hyatt for a number of years. I moved to Asia, to Hong Kong in 2008. Just a few days before the financial crisis. So wow. I just got in. It's kind of lucky. And then I worked with a Grand Hyatt in Hong Kong before moving to the Hyatt Regency in TST. Was promoted out of Hong Kong to Vietnam. So this is actually my second time in Vietnam. So worked in Da Nang, opened the Hyatt Regency there. Mm. And then, you know, working with the company, they moved me to Korea. So that's how Korea started. And I got very fond of Korea. Got some great friends there. Met my wife there. Mm. Now I have two Korean kids. So Korea is very close to my heart.
Okay. And Vietnam is a little bit home for them too. There's a large Korean community here.
Absolutely.
So integrated, yes. Well, and a lot of Germans as well.
Yes, Vietnam. True. I mean, Saigon has the second largest Korean community outside Korea.
Wow.
So for my family, it was quite easy.
Yeah.
You know, we spent sort of a year before coming here, mm-hmm. In Korea.
Okay.
Which was really, had a lot to do with COVID. We were in Thailand prior to that. Mm. We had to go somewhere. We were sort of legal. Mm-hmm. so it was either Germany or Korea.
Right.
And Korea just made more sense. Okay. And so my daughter was in kindergarten in Korea, and it's exactly the same here. So okay. It's been a very, very smooth transition in that sense.
And that's the number one concerns that I hear from a lot of expats, especially coming to Vietnam. They think about education, if they have family, they think about mm-hmm. healthcare, just integrating society. Vietnam's super global, mm-hmm. I would say, in a way. And it sounds like Korea is definitely up there in terms of integration and Vietnamese people just being aware of the culture and supporting them too here. It's easy to kind of mesh in.
Yeah, absolutely.
Very cool, very cool. You mentioned your background. You came from Hyatt. I'm a huge Hyatt fan. I've been a globalist for a while. I think that's
okay.
The term.
Yeah.
Actually, you mentioned Hyatt Regency TST, Simsashui.
Yeah.
It's right on Hanoi Road, if I recall.
Yes, it is.
I remember staying there for the first time 10 years ago, and this great orange sunset.
Uh-huh.
And you see all the towers around it, and you walk out and you see Hanoi Road.
Yeah.
I remember that was 10 years ago. So a little Vietnam story when you started, right?
10 years ago. So briefly after I left,
okay.
You came then.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now the views from Hyatt Regency TST aren't as good anymore because, you know, we're Rosewood Hotel Group and we've built our flagship property right in front. So
okay.
Beautiful hotel, stunning yeah. property.
Okay.
But it's sort of taken away a little bit of the harbor views
sure,
from
sure.
TST.
Well, I'll stay at the New World next
yeah,
time.
Yeah, you should.
Let's talk about that. So you're now here in Vietnam and you're the GM of the New World Saigon, which, like I mentioned, one of the oldest hotels in Saigon, but not a lot of people know it's actually quite new, at least on the inside, right? And the team itself. So why don't we touch upon that as a hotelier, when you get the mandate from the rest of the team and your staff and they're looking up to you, what does a new hotel kind of energy mean to you? What does that mean? Is it the restaurants? Is it ideas of like sustainability?
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean to you?
Look, interesting question. I mean, the hotel, like you mentioned, is 28 years old, right? So we are still facing at times guests who come in and they look around and they're surprised. I was mm-hmm. like, this looked different last time I came. You renovated.
Mm-hmm.
So we're still having to educate the market a little bit. And that's partially because the renovation finished in 2019, early 2020, which means it was right before COVID mm-hmm. hit. So it's been sort of on ice for a couple of years and now really coming back to life. So we're having to re-educate the market.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, in a sense, it is it's like a brand new hotel. The shell on the outside, of course, is not. But inside, all the rooms have been done. We have a new restaurant. We're still doing a little bit of work. We are about to renovate our buffet at the Parkview restaurant. We're still doing minor things to some rooms. So it's an ongoing process. And we were lucky in a sense that, you know, throughout the pandemic, we had very supportive owners, so they kept the team in place. So we have a nice mix of very experienced employees that have been there 28 years, but then also a lot of young new people that joined after. For example, we have an incredible director of engineering, and he's been there 28 years.
Okay, from the opening.
Yeah.
He knows all the deepest, darkest secrets.
He kind of built the place, right? And he treats it like his own.
Okay. He should be on the podcast too. I want to hear from this guy.
He would be a great man to have on the podcast. Okay. I mean, he's incredibly skilled. It's been fun working with him and motivating him because he's actually due to retire this year.
Okay.
And
so are you trying to change that, or?
Well, I'm trying, but I'm also throwing so many projects at him.
Yeah.
So keeping
you have to balance it out somehow, right?
Yeah, keeping him busy, right?
Okay.
But he's enjoying it. So we have a nice, really nice mix between, you know, the stability of a long-serving team, and then very young and energetic. New team members like Mr. Dewey, who's here, our marketing manager, and his team. We completely rebuilt our marketing team last year when I arrived because I felt we needed to do things a little bit differently. You know, a lot more social media driven, a lot more content driven.
And let's talk about that. So, you know, from the GM side, you have to think about the operations, the revenue, everything from the ADR to sell-through rate, the occupancy rate. I used to work at an OTA.
Okay.
An online travel agency, for those of you wondering what that means. And I was the one that took 30% from you guys. So I knew what you guys were thinking, how you work and operate a hotel. So let's talk about that. How does a hotel operate in this digital age where a lot of your potential or existing customers, they're plugged in? The email marketing is not working as much anymore.
Right.
How are you guys approaching the new age of a hotel and attracting customers? It's not just about deals even. People don't really care about deals even anymore. It's more about the product and the experience. So how do you think about communication of the hotel in this day and age?
Yeah, look, I mean, especially last 2 years, right, has driven digitalization forward, and everybody lives online. So being really active on social media platforms is key. We think that influencer marketing still works, you know, different levels for different means.
Okay.
So we do a lot of that. And, you know, you mentioned OTAs. OTAs still work, and that's all about reputation, right? So getting the service on site right and having guests actually post positive comments, we find is still key to success.
Yes.
You know, in a sense, it's not a complicated business, right? We provide accommodation, we food. And of course, people want to have wonderful experiences. But at the end, everybody that stays with us, if they leave happy and leave a good comment, then that in itself promotes the hotel.
So everyone grab out your phones. Go to Google Maps, leave a 5-star review. I'll be doing that. I don't know where my phone is, but I'll do that for you after this, Nicholas.
Thank you.
I'll mention your name and Zui as well.
Yeah.
I definitely agree with that. We mentioned offline, I run a couple venue restaurants myself in the city, and anywhere that's a brick and mortar location, everyone wants to know something about the place before even walking in the door, before even giving it a shot, right? And that communication is so important in this digital age, and really communicating clearly as well. We mentioned offline, for instance. Every time I go to the New World, it seems to be pretty activities going on. You know, there's guests checking in, guests checking out. The ballroom, I feel like, is booked every single day, which is great. Black Vinegar, one of the restaurants, I go on brunch time, but who doesn't on a weekend? And it's constantly busy. But you mentioned offline, you know, comes and goes, right? During the week, it's unpredictable. Let's touch upon that, because a lot of hoteliers and future hoteliers who are listening to today, they have the same challenge as you do. And I think you guys are trading ideas about how do we bring more business to our restaurant? Is it being a local restaurant, attracting guests from all around the city? becoming a destination? Is it focused on guests in-house and having them spend more? How do you guys think about those two different types of guests? Maybe just hear from you.
Yeah, look, this is in a sense still an issue, right, for us. It's still something we're trying to solve. So I can't claim that I have all the answers to that one. Yeah. But we definitely feel we need to be relevant in the local market because a lot of our hotel guests, they want to explore the city. So they're less likely to actually use our hotel restaurants than local guests. So our product is really designed to be for the local palate. And you know, Black Vinegar, a beautiful restaurant, fully renovated. We have a fantastic chef from Guangzhou who's putting out really beautiful Cantonese, modern Cantonese cuisine. And it gets really busy, but it's still quite inconsistent. You know, one day is very busy, next day it's kind of slow. So we're still working on sort of building that. And, you know, what we find, again, it's building that one person at a time. Mm. You know, New World is part of Rosewood Hotel Group. And one key aspect of belief is that in relationship hospitality, it's really one-on-one, right? Yep. It's dealing with every guest, building those relationships that bring people back. And that's what we do. You mentioned the ballroom. We had a good strategy meeting last year. And, you know, the team and I completely aligned that we wanted to be the number one corporate and meetings and events hotel in the city.
Yeah, that's a big undertaking.
It is.
In a good way.
It is, it is. But we're perfectly laid out for that. You know, you walk into the lobby and you want to go to the event space, you just simply walk up the stairs to the right? And it's all there on one floor, easy accessible.
Okay.
You can have multiple events at the same time with plenty of space. So as a team, we came up with this mission last year for the hotel. And, you know, everybody sort of has aligned behind that.
Alignment's key, right?
So everything we do, we ask ourselves the question, right, is this aligned with what we want to do? And that's how we really make
fantastic.
Things happen.
Yeah, I have those challenges myself running teams, and how do we get everyone behind the same direction and mission? I think it's easy to get distracted, but as long as it kind of checks all the boxes, right, then you can, that activity that can move towards that goal.
Yeah.
Let's talk about, the corporate side of business. You know, a lot of our audience today are business people. I'm sure they've got New World on their radar and all that. How do you guys reach the business folks too? Like, what are they thinking about these days when it comes to not just the hotel, but a place, like you said, for mice and all that? What are the demands driving purchasing decisions these days, would you say?
We're grabbing market share, right? We have the Residence Club product, which is 175 rooms and suites, and that has a private club access where we serve breakfast and dinner. And so strategically, we made the decision last year to really improve the food there, right? So essentially, if you go there and you go for the evening cocktail, you don't need to go for dinner. And we found oftentimes it's also trial and error, right? You try something, you see if it works. If it doesn't work, you do something else. You got to be able to pivot sort of quickly into things that work. And, you know, from engaging with our mostly business clients up there, they really value that because they can simply focus on business. They don't worry about meals. Of course, they go out for entertainment and meetings and so on. But on other days where they just take care of their work, they don't have to worry about food and anything. So that works very well. You know, what drives business for us is the location. You know, obviously businesses that are located close vicinity. We have the AB Tower right next to us, and there's a number of businesses in there. So that's obviously a great feeder to our business, both for events and for just corporate clients. And then being member of a lot of the
chambers
right. and so on drives some business as well.
Okay.
You know, it's a lot inviting people in. And showing them the facilities. And because of a slightly lesser brand recognition in a sense, because we're still a younger and younger is the hotel is 28 years old, but the brand is not as well known as a Marriott,
of
right,
course,
for example, or the Intercon. So we're often having, to work a little bit harder to get the business. And that's what we as a team also discussed. You know, we should be more hungry than everybody else.
Well, that's what a customer wants too. If Correct. It's too easy, maybe the end result's not going to be good, put it that way, right? So I've had experiences like that myself as a business person, which leads me to my next question, which is about talent, which is about people. You mentioned your team, you know, we kind of have to go after it. We have to be aligned in the back when we face the customers too. We want to really show that we're front and center, taking things seriously, providing the best experience possible. We all know, especially the headlines say it all, hospitality has taken a huge surge and demand, which is great, but the talent is not there. I think in Vietnam, it's similar. You know, a lot of folks have left the industry, they're not returning, but the people that are returning are quite young. They're very new. They don't have the finesse of somebody that's worked 28 years in engineering, for example. How are you thinking about that as a GM? And how do you confront those challenges and, you know, motivating a great team to keep that talent at a top level?
Look, I think it's a difficult one, right? I think we need to change a little bit as an industry in how we manage our people. You know, my generation, we worked 5 days and got 3 hours of sleep. We were very proud and like, oh, yeah, we made it through.
Yeah.
But the younger generation these days, they're not so keen on that, right? They want a better balance. So we need to also respect that when we design sort of the jobs that we have.
Yeah.
I think, yes, a lot of people have left the industry. And I quite like having younger team members that can be molded and developed.
Yeah.
I think having a culture where internal promotion and internal development is sort of, you know, the primary goal is key to success. What I find for us is that key positions are sometimes hard to find. Like we just confirmed a new executive chef and we've been looking for 7 months.
Wow.
So it took us a long time to find the right candidate. So you'll be joining us in July, and we're very excited. We are still looking for a number of other key positions where we just don't seem to find enough quality candidates at this moment.
Okay.
So the young talent is there, like where key skills are needed, like a baker, right? That's difficult because I feel, you know, you go around Saigon and you find wonderful bakeries, you know, wonderful coffee shops and so on. And I feel a lot of the perhaps the bakers that used to work on hotels, you know, had no other choice but sort of do their own thing during the pandemic.
That's true.
And, well, they were successful, so why would they come back?
They've started a small pop and shop, mom and pop shop. You know, it's not huge, of course, as an operation, but depending if they're financially savvy enough, they can run a decent business. I think your approach in terms of training the next generation, that's what will fill the gap for sure, because anecdotally, I don't know the full numbers, of course, but a lot of people have exited. They're trying to come back into the industry now, which is, that's also not easy, right? After a few years away. But yeah, for sure. I like the what you've mentioned about training the next generation, getting them prepared and adapting too. I think balance is one thing, but also that hunger. I think a lot of young Gen Z, I can't speak for hospitality specifically, but in our industry, for instance, I guess the best way to put it is working has been seen as kind of as a negative thing, whereas it could be more positive. How do we train the next generation to be ready for that, especially as you know, the economic future of the world right now is uncertain. We have to be ready for that. So
it's very interesting. I mean, how do you sort of design the jobs so it fits a new generation, right? You know, people-focused business where you need to be present often. But do you allow certain work that happens from home, right, for back office? So there's a lot of thoughts, I think, that need to go into how we make hospitality more attractive again. Mm-hmm. You know, it has, unfortunately, still a little bit of the reputation of being low paid and long hours, right? Well, you know, in some countries it's better controlled than others. Here it's a little bit more balanced. But
okay. Nicholas, I do want to reflect on the 28-year history of New World. I know you haven't been for all of them, but why don't we start there? What have been those milestones in the 28 years of New World, just so we can reflect a little bit? But looking ahead, what are the next 28 years of New World, with hopefully some of those being under your leadership. What are the next 28 look like for the hotel and your vision with the owners?
That's a very difficult question for me. Number one, because I'm very bad at the past.
Okay.
I'm typically sort of operating in the here and
just
the future.
About the future.
Okay. You know, I probably haven't really investigated too much about the past of the hotel, right? I mean, I hear anecdotes from my long-serving employees.
What are those anecdotes? Can you share any?
Yeah, no, I mean, things that come up, it's like, you know, Bill Clinton stayed there once, and, you know, those sort of experiences that were out of the ordinary.
Right.
So those are the stories that come up. But otherwise, I think it's been a very, very stable sort of business, right? It's gone, if I'm not mistaken, through a couple of brands, because the owners are, it's New World Development out of Hong Kong, plus Saigon Tourist locally.
Okay.
And so when the Cheng family basically bought Rosewood and started developing Rosewood Hotels as the ultra luxury brand, and eventually brought New World brand under that same umbrella. So there's been these transitions for the hotel, but it seems to have been very, very stable. Looking forward, you know, we still have a little bit of work to do to modernize a few things that we do. We are, you know, always looking, and that's what I think innovation is about. We're always looking at what can we do better, what can we change. Sometimes it's very small things, like we put a new door in the lobby that helps the team access the luggage room, right? I mean, such a small thing, but it makes things a lot easier. There's a lot of small things. We implemented a messaging, omni-messaging app to easier communicate with guests just a couple of weeks ago.
Okay.
So we're constantly evolving, looking at every little thing. There's no real sort of long-term vision, if you want. It's more about really being the go-to hotel for corporate travelers and for
meetings.
Let's
talk about that a little too. I mean, we have something coming up very soon. So at Vietcetera, we're doing an ESG, that stands for Environment, Sustainability, Governance, program at the New World at the end of May and early June. And I'll walk through that a little bit. How do you guys see that topic? I mean, that's probably one of the reasons why mutually we were interested in hosting it at the New World Hotel. Mm-hmm. What does a topic like that mean in the future of hospitality, but also within the New World in Saigon?
Majorly important. Number one, guests expect it.
Okay.
Number two, you know, it's our responsibility to be better citizens, right?
Yeah.
So we're doing a number of things. We have some quite ambitious goals for the hotel. One of them is to achieve 70% diversion of waste from landfill by the end of the year.
In a hotel, there's usually a lot of that.
Correct. So it's a massive goal, and you know, I hope we achieve it. I'm not sure, because the more we look into it, the more we see
it's difficult,
how challenging it is, right? Okay. But we've, like with everything, we're starting in very small steps. So one thing that we recently did is we found a company, and we're giving them all our ground coffee that's otherwise would go to landfill and cause methane gas there.
Well, how are they using that?
So they're combining it with recycled plastic and making actually takeaway coffee cups.
Really? It's a local company here.
Yes, you know, which we then buy back.
Can we do a little shout out for this company? What is it called?
Veritas. So they're doing a great job. The cups are biodegradable. They are dishwasher safe, BPA free. We're now using them as amenities. We're also eliminating paper cups. So if you're buying a takeaway coffee, it's going to include one of these cups, which you can reuse. And we're doing it. We're not making a profit on these cups. We're just doing that for sustainability.
So I have a question about that now. So I travel quite a bit for work, and I stay at all these different hotels. Some do it a lot better than others when it comes to this topic. And the ones that don't do it so well, and I don't know why, maybe it's because of money or whatever. And I find sometimes I'm thinking they're doing this just for the sake of doing it, because you know, customers appreciate it. Greenwashing, you're familiar with the term. How do you think about that? Because, I mean, me, of course, if there's a hotel that doesn't use the plastic and uses something better for the environment, it's an unconscious like positive for me. Mm. But one hotel went way over the board, and like the toothbrush just was very bad to use. The toothpaste was impractical.
Right.
Instead of using a tube, they used like paper packaging.
Okay.
And I just remember trying to use the toothpaste. I was like, what is this? This is like very difficult to use. What do you think about that? I haven't stayed at the New World in a while, so I don't know what the last. Mm-hmm. I mean, I live here in Saigon, but I should do a staycation.
Yeah, you should.
I should.
Absolutely.
What do you guys think about that?
Yeah, look, I think it needs to be part of the culture, mm. right? It can't just be an action and, you know, we change the amenities and we tick you're a done. Box and right. done. Because realistically, it never stops, right? Because you're going to find things every day that need to be addressed. Mm. So we've changed, or we're in the process of changing our dry amenities, our toothbrush and combs and all that goes into the room. We've changed our waters, so there's no plastic bottles anymore, sometime early last year, I believe. So it's a step-by-step process, but you got to be committed to that process. You know, if you're just doing it for marketing reasons, then it's just the wrong thing, right? And we as a company, we are committed to it. There's a very strong goal given by the overarching Rosewood Hotel Group.
Okay.
You know, some of the goals we're going to struggle to achieve in the short term, but I think having ambitious goals and a culture around that and trying to do it is really what's needed.
How has, of a staff 400 at the New World in Saigon, what does the team, everyone from the senior managers to the new junior that's just joined yesterday, how do they see a goal like this? Is it positive? What are some general feedbacks? I would love to hear from the general management side what you're hearing.
I think in general, positive. We do, every quarter, we do a rally where basically we get everybody together in the ballroom and we present what's going on, you know, business results, initiatives, what's happening in the next few months and so on. And the last rally we did was all about environmental initiatives and so on. And, you know, we're just in the process of actually hiring a sustainability manager.
Okay. Who, dedicated for the hotel.
It needs a lot of data collection, right? Mm. And analytics and making sure we, you know, count things right? Because how do you know you're diverting from landfill if you don't count it,
right?
So there's a lot of work that needs to go in there. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the person that's probably going to get the job is an internal employee who's passionate about it.
Okay.
So she's going to get most likely a promotion and be engaged in that role.
Okay.
Yeah, we do a lot around that. We, you know, it's more of an awareness campaign. It's not that we really made any sort of serious impact with that. But we, you know, about 14% of all fresh fruits and vegetables are actually thrown away just because they don't look good, right?
At the hotel?
No, in general, within the food system, right? If you go to a supermarket, right? Uh-huh. You take the nice looking tomatoes.
Well, they're trying to sell, yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, and you leave the ugly ones on the side. And so we looked down our food supply chain as well and found that, you know, there's also wastage there. Mm. So what we've done, we worked with a supplier. They gave us the ugly vegetables, we call it. Mm. We're using them, and they're perfectly fine to use. Yeah. They just don't look great.
Right.
So we use them now on our buffet, and we did a little poster explaining what it is and so on, and displayed the ugly vegetables. But we also did that in the canteen, where we basically had a lot of baskets of these vegetables, and employees were allowed to just take them away.
Okay.
And if they wanted to donate some money for it, they can. And we're going to give that money to some cause.
Okay.
And then we had six local artists make artwork from those, and that's currently displayed in our lobby. Mm. And eventually, we're going to sell or auction it off, and the money will go to some good cause as well. So this is more of an awareness campaign. But I think the point I'm trying to make is it was very much with employee engagement because we also extended to the canteen. We also communicated it.
Get people involved.
Correct.
Just like an outside idea coming from the GM and everyone starts to test it.
Correct.
We
try to get everybody to rally behind that. Mm. And look, it didn't. You know, if you count the impact, it didn't make a big impact, right? It was just an awareness campaign.
Okay, very cool. Nicholas, I have some ending questions toward the end of our podcast that I always like to ask. Mm-hmm. You're obviously an expert in hospitality. You've been in the industry for decades. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Some time.
You're relatively new to Vietnam, though, uh-huh. and in your role, you're interacting with people from so many different industries. Everyone, you know, the German business industry, they do real estate, energy, pharmaceuticals. You're thinking about ESG. What are some topics that you'd like to know more about? And I ask that because we invite guests here on the show all the time, ranging so many different industries. Mm-hmm. What do you want to know more about to make your job easier? And so you feel like you understand your customers and Vietnam a little bit better.
Personally, I'm very interested to hear more about what's happening in the real estate sector,
okay.
right? Because that's an interesting one at the moment.
No, it's 25% of the economy in Vietnam.
Yeah.
So not just economically, but a lot of people are employed in that. It's kind of unknown what's the future of that industry with a lot of the issues going on at the moment.
Yeah.
The crisis, you could say. Okay, what about that would you like to know more about?
For me, I look at it from a hotel background, mm-hmm. right? In terms of developments and so on. That's really an area that I personally quite interested in. Mm-hmm. But otherwise, it's always the sustainability topic, right? Mm-hmm. That's, I think, crucial for Vietnam because as it continues to be very popular as a destination, it's got to keep its appeal also yeah. by making sure it's sustainable, right? Okay. So anything on sustainability is always very, very interesting.
400 employees at New World, you know, just something like 50 to 100,000 people listen to this thing. Some of them are existing hoteliers, your colleagues, you could say, in the industry, the GM of that hotel, the GM of this hotel. And there's some youngsters who are mm-hmm. thinking about going into the industry. What are some big takeaways from your decades of experience in hospitality that you could share to the young people today that are wondering, should I get into hospitality? It seems like hardworking. I just want to stay at home and make TikTok videos. what are some takeaways that you can share about building a career in hospitality for someone that's just starting their journey?
You may end up making more money with TikTok, but it'll be maybe a little bit more lonely. Mm. You know, I as a child, I always wanted to become an architect. Mm. And I ended up going to Florida in the US and for a year out working at Disney because I just wanted to improve my English. And that was my first exposure to hospitality.
Okay.
And that's really where I sort of discovered my love for the industry. And I think what appealed to me is you're taking care of people and you're making sure they're having fun and good experiences. So you're sort of a little bit in the industry of happiness, right? Mm. And I find that quite rewarding.
Yeah. Mm.
So for me, I think if you're getting into hospitality, you probably want to be somebody who cares deeply about others,
right.
who cares about experiences and fun and human interaction, because that's still what it's all about, right? I mean, yes, a lot more things are working digitally now, but it's still a very human industry. So you got to be passionate about
that. I mean, you can say that about anything. You know, you mentioned, you know, we're making fun of TikTok a little bit, the right. TikTok generation. I think what you're saying is very true, though, which is, I don't know about the money thing, though, to be honest. I think some creators, they just end up going nowhere. But if you really love what you're doing, you have a lot of fulfillment out of it. And I think in this day and age, you see a lot of influencers on TikTok and Instagram and all that. But that's not for everybody, right? And I think that's important to know, too. And if you feel really passionate about food and beverage, about hospitalities, about whatever it may be, there's a great space for you in that future, and especially in Vietnam, where
absolutely.
There's hotels opening left and right, and it's a big industry to be a part of. So
absolutely, and look, it's very there's so many different areas to go into, right? Mm. Food and beverage rooms, development concepts. You know,
which one would you go into if you were
development for sure?
If I
was to move on,
yeah.
I did start a development company. Oh. I tried three times to start a business, failed three times.
Okay. It's tough.
Yes, it is. And the last one during COVID worked well for a few months, but then, anyway.
Go back to what you're best at. So
yeah, but yeah. You know, developing properties is great, right? Because you look at the concepts, you look at the designs.
Yeah.
It's great fun. So there's so many angles to hospitality that you can go into, which also makes it a very interesting profession to work in, really.
Well, thank you for listening today, guys. I hope you enjoyed the podcast. But before we end, we're going to do a little rapid fire session with Nicholas here and test his TikTok skills. We have a few questions for you, Nicholas. Are you ready?
Ready.
Okay. First question. What excites you about Vietnam?
People.
Why should people stay at New World Saigon?
It's the best hotel in town.
Is there any innovation at the hotel that people should look forward to?
Always. Yes. A new messaging app, art in the lobby.
Black vinegar.
We're constantly evolving.
What's a myth that you like to debunk about the hospitality industry?
Next.
There's too many. Okay. What's your best hotel tip or hack? We can cut out.
Book direct.
Book direct. Okay. On a Sunday at 10 a.m., where would you be and what would you be doing?
With my kids. Maybe by the pool.
For those hoping to work in the hospitality industry, what are three must-do skills they must learn?
Social skills, time management, creativity.
Okay, and I have one question that's not in here that I always like to ask. If I were to go onto ChatGPT and search Nicholas Wagner, what would it say?
I think I tried that. Nothing came up.
Okay. Well, fantastic. There we go. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for being on the show today, Nicholas.
Thank you for having me.
I used to work kind of in the hospitality industry, so I always love speaking with general managers and seeing how they think about the business, what they hope to do and all that. So thank you so much for sharing. And I hope those of you that are thinking about Vietnam, think of New World. And if you're already here, well, stop by Black Vinegar. So
please do.
You'll see Nicholas. Thank you so much, Nicholas. And I'll be coming to New World all the time. So hope to see you there. And best of luck for all the initiatives at the hotel.
Thank you very much.
See you guys next time. New World Saigon stands proudly as a leading MICE hotel in town with its prime location in the vibrant District 1. The hotel offers newly renovated 533 guest rooms and suites with state-of-the-art facilities for guests traveling for multi-purposes. Come and experience the utmost flavor of New World, from Parkview Cafe with the leading seafood buffet in town to Black Vinegar as a notable modern Cantonese restaurant in Whisper Bar and Lounge, a vibrant late-night lounge. Whether it is a business rendezvous or a leisure get-together, New World Saigon is undoubtedly an ideal place for any occasion. You can also check out the video version of this podcast on our other platforms such as YouTube and Facebook. New episodes are out every week, so don't forget to subscribe to Vietcetera's Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and YouTube channel for more interesting content.